This program is sponsored by The Church of God International and supported by our viewers.
In times like these, we need the armor of God for the well-being of our families, to help you stand in the evil day. The Church of God International presents Armor of God, a program of biblical understanding. And now, your host, Bronson James.
Greetings, everyone, and welcome to another international telecast of the Armor of God. We're very pleased to be going in an expanded fashion throughout the world, in over 40 countries, I understand, and that's a wonderful thing. I hope that you're able to respond by internet or however you choose, by hard mail, as they say, the snail mail, I guess they call it. But please do tune in to the Armor of God as often as you can. Today's program is a rather sensitive one because it's going to be talking about children. The title of the program is Save the Children. In previous times, I've done a program entitled The Children of the Sacrifice. And I want to draw our attention to this particular issue because our children are being attacked. They are being attacked in many forms, in many ways, but the prime mover behind this effort is Satan, the devil himself. And he comes in many guises and in many situations and circumstances. You cannot explain the horrific things that are happening to our children just by time and chance. There has to be some motivation behind it, and I want to draw that to your attention today. There's a passage in the book of Psalms. In fact, two chapters back-to-back, Psalm 127 and Psalm 128, that shows the importance of children and, in fact, tells us that they are an heritage from God. Let's take a look at Psalm 127 and read what it says here. It says, "Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it." Have you the feeling or the sense of the difficulty before you in rearing your children? Now, let me just say this. Perhaps you are like me. Children are grown and gone, and that's a good thing, but you perhaps have grandchildren. And I hope that you are interacting with them as they mature in life and so forth. Or perhaps you are an aunt or an uncle or a caregiver or perhaps even a guardian or a teacher. It's important that you stay tuned to this kind of program because it might inspire you and focus you on how important you can be as a positive ingredient in the lives of children, because our children are at our mercy, if you will, the mercy that we can extend towards them and the recognition that we can provide them and helping them through some tough things of life. In Psalm 127, it continues, it says, "Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh but in vain." And this is a sense that the frustration that many people are feeling, perhaps teachers are feeling, and for parents for that matter. Some of them, both parents, if there are two-parent homes, are working overtime and trying to pay all the bills and so forth, and children are becoming latchkey children or left to their own devices with all kinds of gadgets and all kinds of implements into which they can tap into, such as the computers and such as cell phones and all kinds of game activities, if you will. I'm going to talk about that in a few moments. But I want to share with you what we're offering in today's program for your consideration. What we are offering are materials that will be very beneficial in helping you guide your children through the pitfalls of life. The literature, the brochure, is entitled Bending the Twig. I was able to write this several years ago, and I think it is very relevant. Bending the twig is the notion that as a tree is bent, so is how it grows. And I want you to have that brochure for yourself, but also a very important tape, a sermon message by Bill Watson entitled Recapturing Our Young People. We must exert effort in behalf of our children, on behalf of our children. We must not leave them at their own devices or at their wits' end, dealing with the magnitude of things before them in today's world. You can make the toll-free call to 1-888-578-8791 or hit us up on our email address, or I should say our website address, at cgi.org. That is www.cgi.org. And this material is absolutely free to you as usual, and I hope that you will obtain it. Now, continuing with this subject of our children and the concern that we should have for them, verse 2 says, "It is in vain for you," this is Psalm 127, "it is vain for you to rise up early and to sit up late, to eat the bread of sorrows, for so he gives his beloved sleep." In other words, God saying, if you leave me out of the equation, you will have sleepless nights, you will have troubled and sorrowful days, but I give to my beloved sleep, confidence, because I can provide that which you cannot do for your own children. Do you know that there are angelic protections that you can tap into for your children as they go through the horrific streets of our cities and towns? That is possible, for God promises that. It continues in verse 3. It says, "Lo, children are an heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward." Are you feeling rewarded today with the presence of your children? Or perhaps you are like those who feel that children are a curse. Or worse, they are a curse. That is a C on attached to the word curse. They are under a great load. Great difficulty confronts them as they go through their lives today. What kinds of things do they have to deal with? Well, how many abductions have you heard about? And there are abductions where children are missing and no one knows where, how, or why, and they've been missing for an interminable period of time. And years later sometimes, or weeks, or months later, we find bodies of these abducted children who have been killed, decapitated, and mangled in all kinds of ways. Worse is the fact that pedophilia also is a confrontation facing our children. And we've heard about all of the sensationalism about it, and perhaps most of it we have not even heard about. That sometimes happens within the family circle itself, from next of kin. I'm impressed by the stories of celebrities who talk about their youthful lives, whether it's Maya Angelou, who talks of being raped by a close family friend at the age of 6 that left her silent in speech until the age of 13. Or Oprah Winfrey is another example of people who have experienced things in their youth as children. And sometimes we as parents, we as the adults, think everything is okay with our children, never considering the possibility that they have been exposed to this kind of damage within their psyches and within their bodies. And that is what is happening. And what is behind it is my issue today. You must know what's behind it in order to move proactively to save your children. Further, this scripture says, "As arrows are in the hand of a mighty man, so are children of the youth." They are arrows in our hands. They are power to us. They are forces for us if we guide and protect them properly. The scripture ends in Psalm 127 by saying, "Happy is the man, the person, who has his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed, but they shall speak with the enemies in the gate." We can empower our children by equipping them with knowledge and understanding and surrounding them with love and protection that we are duty-bound to provide as their parental sources and adults in the community. That is how I grew up. I couldn't stray very far from home, couldn't go around the corner without somebody saying, "Are you Minnie's son? What are you doing that for?" I mean, they said it like that, you know, they put the preposition at the end. "What are you doing that for? You better get yourself together, because I can go around there and let her know what you know," that kind of thing. I know parents today don't want you to talk to their children. They don't want you to touch their children in the kind of strong arm, move them out of harm's way kind of a circumstance. But friends, don't you see the tea leaves? Don't you see the circumstance that subject our children not only to murders and pedophilia and abductions? What about low achievement? the United States of America compared to Europe and other parts of the world, the Far East, for instance, educationally have low achievement compared to all these places, and yet we have all of the advantages, all of the prosperity that one can ever imagine. Yet, we have this low achievement situation confronting us continuously. Now, I suggest that if you are concerned about our children, there are things that you should be aware of. And one of them is that you and I, as parents and grandparents, have a responsibility to instruct our children and to educate them on what is out there. Let me give you an example of what is confronting our children today. And this just came to me recently as I taped this broadcast, this telecast. I just left from a visit with my four grandchildren in the city of Memphis, Tennessee. My oldest grandchild is 12 years of age. His name, I don't want to embarrass him, so I'll just say that he is 12 years of age, and he's stretching out, getting almost as tall as I am, and it's exciting to see that growth. But I asked his mother, what kind of thing would you like for me to buy him? What does he want? So I'm going to be the beneficent grandfather and all that, and she mentioned something about a card game. I thought, oh, okay, well, a card game, that seems harmless enough. But on the ride to the store to purchase this item with him, I began to ask him some questions. That's what parents should do. That's what grandparents should do, because if you are going to develop a relationship with young people, old folk, you got to talk to them. I know it's painful. They don't talk the same languages. They feel so cool, you know, and you feel so out of it so many times, and you don't know what's going on because you don't watch what they watch, you don't listen to what they listen to and all of that, but sometimes you need to do that to find out how to deal with what they're dealing with. So he described this card game to me, and he used some words and situations that trouble me. It kind of clicked something in the back of my mind when I said, okay, let's get to the store and find out what it's all about. Well, he tells me about this game called Yu-Gi-Oh. That's the name. Little card game, little package that you can see here. Not very significant, but it's a package that has some interesting details on the back of it. Let me read some of that for you here. It says, in ancient Egypt, there existed a force so powerful, it had to be locked away for a millennia. Now, I got to tell you, as a biblical student, I mean, that sent some chills through my mind, because a force so powerful, and I talk about Egypt, Egypt developed a worship system, a religious circumstance where they had many gods that they worshiped, whether it was the sun god or the god of the Nile, a god of frogs. All of those things are addressed in the book of Exodus as God deals with the Egyptian nation in extracting his children of Israel out of their bondage. And I got to thinking, a force so powerful, it had to be locked away for a millennia. And I thought, well, where in the Bible does it talk about that? Now, understand that if you are a believer in God and in his word, that should be the measure by which you measure everything. So I thought about the satanic figure in the book of Revelation that was going to be locked away for 1,000 years. And I said, oh my, this is interesting. This goes on to say, now one boy has released the power. It's time to duel. But it goes on with the objective of the game. And it reads like this in the Yu-Gi-Oh! Trading card game. That sounds innocent. Trading card game. What could be wrong with that? We traded cards, baseball cards, football cards, all that kind of thing. So how bad could it be? Two players face off in an all-out battle, engaging in a match consisting of 3 duels. It will take skill, practice, strategy, and luck to emerge victorious from the match, as there are many factors players can manipulate to vanquish their foe. Oh, okay. The main battles are waged between the incredible monsters, split into amazing 20 types, each with their own unique skills and fighting styles. In addition, players can use spells, set traps, change the battle itself, and even fuse two monsters together to form a monster of immense power. Well, my friends, as I've read this and considered it, you know, I actually purchased the material, but on the way home, I began the conversation with my grandson about what this could mean down the road. And when we got home, we spent about an hour talking about this situation. Why? Because I know that the God of this world, Satan the devil, wants nothing better than to get at our children. And he can choose to do that through many media. He can do it through drugs. He can do it through sex. He can do it through popular culture, dancing. You know, some of the dancing is pretty ribald these days, pretty rough. Through the style of clothing, through any number of circumstances, even through the educational system of the world. We can have our children attacked by this being. And what better way to get to our children than through something so innocent as a little card game that has been developed and allegedly taken out of ancient Egypt? Do you know that the Bible describes ancient Israel as a type of sin? That immersed and buried within it were all of these tentacles and distresses. And Almighty God Himself had to deal with that nation. And many of the things that derived from Egypt wound over in Babylon. That's why in the New Testament it calls Babylon the mystery religion. And so many times there are things involved and we are entangled within them within our society and do not even realize it. And our children, whether it's on television, whether it's through computers, or something as simple as a childish trading card game, can open themselves up to situations and circumstances that we cannot explain. How do we explain young people, children who seem to be all right, that's how the neighbors describe them, when they are carted off, or worse, when they've killed a bunch of people and then turned the guns on themselves? We say, well, I never saw it coming. I never realized that they were inclined in that direction. Well, when they are set up in certain situations with these kinds of attitudes where they're always in a fighting mode, you hear about the young boy who hit the other young man in the head with a baseball bat? Where does that come from? Well, I know that so many of the professional athletes have such displays of attitudes and demeanor that our children are influenced by them, and they perpetrate or perpetuate the same kind of behavior, even at the little league levels. We see it. And many times, have you been to the mall lately? Have you watched the attitudes that are displayed by children there? Why, just yesterday, as I was coming to Cleveland to make this program, I'm in a rest stop area, standing in line to get some food, and right in front of me are these children going through all kinds of kicks, like, you know, judo, or I should say karate and that kind of thing. I mean, the fellow, young fellow, must have been 4 or 5 years old, came so close to kicking me, and you know what his mother said or did? Nothing. Said nothing. Behavior must have been acceptable. And we wonder why when they are 12 and 13, they are out of control. You know, the Holy Word of God tells us some significant things. Back in Deuteronomy, the 6th chapter, this is a pivotal section. Now, it's written so many thousands of years ago, but it is still so relevant for us today, and I believe that we should consider it. The material that we're offering will underscore it, but I want to draw to your attention how important it is that you spend time thinking about and implementing a plan, a program for your children. Look at what it says in Deuteronomy, the 6th chapter. First, in verse 4, the common knowledge of this is that it's called the Shema. And the Jews religiously repeat this. Hear, O Israel. The first word in this sentence in Hebrew is Shema, so it's called the Shema. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. That's important to understand the monotheistic Jewish religion, which also transfer over to the Christianity perspective of monotheism, should be understood. And it goes on to say, And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your might. Do you realize that as an adult, if you do that, you can't help but be inclined to pass that on to your children. You can't help but be inclined to want to share with them the importance of a relationship with God that will help them view circumstances and situations entirely different. As I was talking with my grandson, and you'll see the scriptures here as I read down through it, that gave me the authority to do that. Before his mother went to work, she's a nurse and she works nights, and so she was leaving, and I was explaining to her and her husband the circumstance, and they were like, wow, we never thought about that. We never even considered it. I said, well, you mind if I go ahead and talk with my grandson and try to get him to understand why it's important that he let these cards go and no longer be involved with them? Sure, you go right ahead. Why? Because I have a relationship with them, as do their grandmother, so that we can share this kind of thing and be partners in the rearing of our grandchildren. Well, here is what the scripture gave me the authority to do as I sat with my grandson. Verse 6, and these words which I command you this day shall be in your heart, and you shall teach them diligently unto your children, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up. In other words, it should inundate your life of time with your children. And so I sat with my grandson. I said, you know, this is probably going to be painful for you, as he's explaining to me how he was able to vanquish his opponent, and he didn't have all the cards, and there were certain cards he still needed and so forth, and he just didn't see why this was going to be a problem. And I explained to him what the Bible teaches about being involved in certain kinds of activities, that sometimes Satan the devil can be behind the scene as the power behind it. And I read the words to him that this was derived and devised out of ancient Egypt, and that there were gods or paganistic activities in those days that sometimes we may not think as important or significant, but it opens ourselves up to the possibilities of influence. And I waded through and I wrestled for nearly an hour before he personally came to the choice and the decision, okay, I'm going to give them up. I'm going to give them to my mother and I'll be done with it. But can I get something else? You know, that's an understandable thing. And I was very happy to comply to get him something that was less threatening, shall we say. It goes on here to say, and you shall bind them for a sign in verse 8 upon your hand, and they shall be as frontless before your eyes, and you shall write them upon the posts of your house and on your gates. In other words, we should be inundated with the laws of God, the standards of God, and the way of God, and pass them on to our children. In Proverbs, the 22nd chapter in verse 6, it says, train up, that is, catechize your children in the way they should go, so when they are old, they will not depart from it. Oh, they will rebel. That's the nature of children. You and I, if we will reflect and remember, we were rebellious to a certain extent, but sometimes we may have kept it to ourselves. But when we got of age, we might have gone wandering down the wrong path. But because of the teaching that had been entrenched in our minds, we returned to that which we came to learn was true and unadulterated. Friends, here's the challenge. All around us, through video games, through these simple, innocent-looking card games, many circumstances and traditions in our society and the popular culture of today, our children are confronted and are being damaged and destroyed because we as parents and adults don't take our positions seriously. I'm hoping that you'll take time today to make the toll-free call to 1-888-578-8791 to get the material that has been offered, in particular the brochure, Bending the Twig, as well as the sermon tape by Bill Watson entitled Recapturing Our Young People. You'll learn about the things we offer, including the Sky Program, Sabbath Keeping Youth, and Infuse Magazine. More about that from my colleague. I hope you'll stay tuned and watch this message. See you next time here on the Armor of God.
You know, Bronson today mentioned something that's very important for all of us to take to heart. He mentioned that our children are sacred and sensitive. And you know, along with that comes the consequence and the realization that they're very vulnerable. Oh yes, that's right, my friends. I think, frankly, it's very, very deplorable, and I think you'd agree, in so many respects, on how today our children are exploited even in their schools by teachers that they trust, predators, sexual predators, not to mention the trades in pornography and the sex trades of prostitution that involve so many young people. And by the same token, on the other side of the coin, we have the opposite extreme, don't we? With many young people involved in gangs and delinquency. It goes without saying, and I think you'll agree, our children need our help. You know, the Apostle Paul had something to say about this over in the book of Ephesians, chapter 6. I want to read something from this particular chapter from that book. In verse 1, he says, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right." And you know, often we as parents, we look at that and say, "See, you know, you should obey me." But frankly, the inverse of that, and there's something there that maybe doesn't meet our eye as clearly as we ought to as parents. But we need to recognize, parents, that our children should obey us and would have a much easier time in obeying us if we would be the kind of parents that they could respect and honor. Notice in verse 2, it says here, "Honor your father and mother." Well, that lies down a premise that you are honorable, does it not? Mom, dad, grandma, grandpa, you see what I'm saying, my friends? And then yet, in verse 4, Paul goes on to say, he says, "And you fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonishment of the Lord." Bronson brought it to all of our minds, that in order to bring anybody up about anything, you've got to talk to them. You've got to spend time with them. And that's why you need to get the literature that will hopefully help you. Let us help you. Dial now, 888-578-8791. Get the article that Bronson James has written, Bending the Twig, and the tape given about 1 hour before a live audience called Recapturing Our Young People. Both will be so helpful to you in trying to renew the relationships that you have to have and should have with your children. Friends, this is Bill Watson reminding all of you to keep on that whole armor of God so that you may be able to stand in that evil day.
Armor of God and the free material offered is brought to you by the Church of God International of Tyler, Texas. You may write to us at Post Office Box 2525, Tyler, Texas 75710. Call toll-free at 1-888-578-8791 or call 1-903-939-2929 during regular business hours. You may visit our website at cgi.org or email us at armorofgod@cgi.org. We appreciate your prayers and support.
The Armor of God deals with the solutions to our broken world. New perspectives presented for your consideration by our commentators in these tumultuous times. Don't miss this week's program.
This program is sponsored by the Church of God International and supported by our viewers.